This is the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Visit Bemidji. Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors covers the lakes, woods, trails, wildlife, and anything else going on outdoors in Paul Bunyan's playground. Well, today we're kind of recapping the summer and the fishing scene over in the Brainerd area with the Brainerd Area Fisheries Supervisor, Mark Bacigalupi. Mark, thanks for joining us and welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, Mark, first of all, I know I asked you this question in one of our interviews earlier this year, but how did you find your way up to Brainerd?
Yeah, I started my career in the DNR back in 2001, 20 years ago, if you can believe that.
Wow.
And I was in the West Metro then. And I took a promotion in Waterville, Waterville area, and I lived in Mankato in that time, and loved the southern Minnesota as well. Got a little pheasant hunting in, and when the opportunity came to come to Brainerd in 2010, couldn't pass it up.
So here we are in Brainerd, and we're 11 years in now for you. Overall, we've seen some changes, certainly in all of the waters in Minnesota. Been a lot of AIS situations. And I know we talked earlier about the fact that there's a lot of zebra mussels in your area. Have you seen any new infestations in the last year or so?
Yeah, Brainerd seems to be kind of a hot spot in Minnesota for zebra mussels. And that's a big part of the story, as you mentioned, seeing some of the changes in water clarity and what that may be doing with the ripple effects throughout the food chain. So we've been monitoring that as closely as we can. There's actually new work going on in the section of fisheries statewide on that in that department. But yes, there were some new infestations in the Brainerd area, Crow Wing County in general. We talk about the Brainerd area and lower Cass County, and then over east towards Mille Lacs. Lower South Long Lake was a bigger water body that was a new listing this year. And some smaller lakes by Mille Lacs, the Barber-Smith-Holt chain was a new report. And then just a 25-acre mine pit, Roll Mine Pit in the Crosby-Ironton area. Those were the new zebra. Oh, and Horseshoe Lake. We can't forget about that one.
Yeah.
So we did have Horseshoe Lake pop up at the one just east of Big Pelican Lake, north of Mission Township, north of Merrifield. a nice bass, a panfish pike lake there. And on the faucet snail, we did have a faucet snail infestation or discovered below lower South Long Lake to the Mississippi River in the Nokasippi River. So those are the new ones out there. It's a bummer to see these new ones, but on one hand, just kind of keeping that rate that we've seen where you see two or three pop per year in this area.
Before we go any further, for those who aren't real familiar with the faucet snail, because we don't hear that one as often, what is it and what is the concern with it?
Yeah, I'm getting a little out of my wheelhouse there on the faucet snails. But, the concern always with these invasive species that they're just displacing the natives and they can become more abundant and kind of overrun the natural ecosystem. It's not as visible with the faucet snails, but they are there, and then we don't want to be transporting them around. So we got to make those listings.
And let's see, I'm trying to think, do you know off the top of your head when the first infestation of zebra mussels occurred in your area?
Well, yeah, too bad, but yes, Ossawinamakee was the first, and it was really the first in the state where those popped outside of the Duluth Harbor, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, we were really taking intensive. We tried some intensive management approaches with copper sulfate to trying to eliminate them because, of course, Pelican Creek flows out of there and it goes into the Pine River and down into the Mississippi River. So some of that stuff was tried, but for whatever reason, Ossie was one of the first infestations in the state, and it's right here in the center of Crow Wing County.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, boy, you're testing me on that one, but it was right around, I want to say, 2001,
okay,
2005 type of time period.
So I asked that only to know, you know, kind of what kind of span we're looking at, and that might be a good example of what we might expect in some of these other waters as we move along. What have you seen over the years due to the zebra mussel infestation?
Yep. You know, we really are trying to find the answer to those tough questions all over the state. And I guess if I had to put a general term on it, I would say that, you know, the sky hasn't fallen in these lakes like Ossie that have had it for a long time. You see nice bodies of water where a lot of recreation is continuing, and even Eurasian water milfoil was an Ossie too a long time ago. You go on that body of water, and I had the opportunity to do a survey out there this year. It's just a really, really nice lake. You've got nice weed lines. You have mostly native aquatic vegetation, you know, still good fishing. We are concerned and watching that carrying capacity issue with zebra mussel lakes. If some of that zooplankton, algae and zooplankton biomass is dropping and being sequestered towards the bottom of the lakes, if that slightly lowers the carrying capacity or just the amount of biomass a lake can support in terms of fish, that could be a possible outcome. But a lot of it is just that the water is clearing up, and it really changes how people fish, and that's what they notice, and it is very concerning, but not necessarily the end of the world in these infested waters.
Right. I would agree that everything I have seen and heard, and I do a lot of interviews about this over the course of the year, mm-hmm. is fish are there, but they're not where they used to be, and they're not biting when they used to.
Yep, and as the epicenter here in some ways, fishermen have started to adjust around here, and we hear that from the guides about how they fish differently than they used to, and some of it's just some interesting techniques that you hear coming out, like some bobber fishing techniques and learning how to fish the weeds a little bit more.
What is the state doing on you mentioned statewide study going on or statewide efforts going on. What is the state doing?
Well, we're working with the University of Minnesota on a few fronts, on a few projects there. And some of the area of offices are getting a little more involved in what we're just calling a walleye zebra mussel lake study, where some of our, you know, we have the 10 big lakes in Minnesota, and those are always studied no matter what. But we're starting to tackle the next level of lakes that are, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 acres or at least over 1,000 acres, where we're starting to collect more data that will help us kind of unravel some of these question marks about walleye, especially walleyes, walleye recruitment. You know, one of the signals that we've seen early in the Brainerd area are that walleye fry that are stocked are just not surviving in numbers like they used to the fall. And so we're not getting that year class generation that we, the frequency of good year classes hitting. We're not seeing that as much now in our big lakes that we, you know, in Brainerd, we put a lot of walleye fry in our big lakes, mm-hmm. whitefish chain, pelican, north long, gull, Edward, and it kind of goes on. So we do keep pretty close track of that by electrofishing in the fall and seeing what type of numbers of those fingerlings, we call them fingerlings, but they're 5 to 6 inch young of the year walleyes that have had that 5 month period to grow, basically. And in a normal situation, you should see some good year classes resulting from fry in 2 out of 3 years, or maybe 1 out of 4 at least. And some of those numbers have really dropped, so we're watching that. In some cases, we've already started stocking fingerlings, like in pelican and gull. And, you know, we're just watching that to see if there's other actions that need to be adjusted, you know, in the future, and keep good walleye fishing around here.
Well, as we look over the course of from the opener up till now through the heart of summer into the fall bite, overall, did we see a lot of pressure on the lakes? Did we see a lot of harvest on the lakes?
Yeah, I wish I really had some numbers to attach to the questions you're asking. Overall, in general, I would say that there was pretty good pressure and good you know, good amount of fishing going on in the area. You see lots of boats trailing around the main intersections around here on weekends. Last year we had a creel survey where we can directly measure and really get good pressure estimates, you know, the number of anglers that fished per hour per acre on North Long, you know, for example. And those creel surveys are kind of expensive. We take pride in making sure we're getting some of that data in this area because it is so important. And the larger lakes get creeled a little more often. You know, to hire a creel clerk, it's for a summer, it's, you know, $30,000-$35,000. So if you want to creel a bigger lake, you need to have, you know, two creel clerks and boat gas and boats for that. So anyways, that's the data collection end to get pressure and harvest information. North Long was the last place we did that. We have done some on the trout lakes recently, the Crosby Ironton trout lakes and some of our what we call our natural trout lakes in the northern part of the county that are smaller lakes but are really popular, you know, stock trout lakes for stream trout.
Okay.
So generally, you know, we like to have those numbers. The pressure has been pretty substantial. We don't have numbers behind that, but, you know, anecdotally, it's kind of what you would expect. We saw some pretty good spring fishing around here, and it's picking up again in the fall after kind of seeing some, maybe kind of a tougher summer and some, you know, July, August being a little bit slow in some of those bigger lakes for walleye in particular.
Well, we certainly had heat that we are not used to seeing, and on top of that, throw in a drought that we haven't had for a long, long time. And I'm just wondering, you know, did you see, what were the biggest impacts of that in your area?
Yeah, maybe some weather-related effects on fishing. So the drought has been interesting because, you know, people do get concerned about, you know, how it's affecting lakes. I would say that you know, lakes are really resilient. You see in streams that we have really, really low stream flow in some places. And yeah, that obviously is an issue for fish that live in streams. Now, our trout streams are just a couple that we have in this area. You know, I still had that good base flow of groundwater coming out into them, and the trout are doing just fine in those systems. In streams. Now, in lakes, you kind of wonder if there's too many plants or if the water's too hot or if it's too much algae. I can't say that we really saw that in this area. We saw really pretty clear water. You know, you'd think the surface water would be really warm. Well, the counter effect is that without any rain to be running off out of the watersheds and into the creeks and off of lawns, we didn't have many nutrients really going into the system, so we saw clear water, as clear a water as, you know, as you might ever see, and oxygen in that water going down, you know, as deep as you'd ever see as well. Mm-hmm. So aquatic plants were, you know, growing, and part of it is that just that they were more visible than you might expect them to be, because the lakes were maybe 1 or 2 feet or more lower than they usually are. So you've got plants reaching up towards the surface of the water surface dropping. So you're just kind of seeing more plants, and those plants are producing oxygen at the same time too. So a lot of plants out there, kind of a weedy year, but again, that's good for fish and places for young fish to feed and hide, and for big fish to ambush little fish. So So yeah, you know, this definitely something to watch for, and drought years can have interesting effects in terms of what it's doing for a year class of fish, and we really won't know for a few years what some of those things, how those turn out.
Taking a look at the state of the fishery in the Brainerd Lakes area with Mark Bacigalupi, the Brainerd Area Fisheries Supervisor. We'll have more with Mark next on the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Beardsley with Dick Beardsley Fishing Guide Service. Are you looking to plan a fishing trip? Look no further, as Bemidji, Minnesota is your year-round destination for walleyes, pike, muskie, bass, perch, crappie, panfish, and more. With over 400 fishing lakes within a 25-mile radius of Bemidji, come take a cast at becoming a fishing legend. While you're on your fishing adventure, come take a picture with the historic Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. Discover the first city on the Mississippi, Bemidji, one step further.
Welcome back. My guest today is Mark Bacigalupi. He is the Brainerd Area Fisheries Supervisor. Well, over the course of the summer, that's when your crew goes out and, you know, does lake surveys. And I know that then comes time to crunch the numbers, and then we find out later, you know, how it all played out. Was there anything on any lakes that was very interesting or surprising initially, or do you not even know that at this point?
Well, I asked the guys that have been out on lake survey, and I got out on a few myself this year. We're a little short-staffed. I think everyone is these days. I guess the general impression was that we saw some really nice-sized panfish this year in surveys, and mm-hmm. we saw some really nice-sized pike that stood out in our surveys this year. I'd like to credit the new zone pike regulation, the North Central Pike Zone regulation, where you can keep up to 10, you know, pike, but the 22 to 26 inchers have to be released right away. But it may be a little early to say that that's an effect of the regulation, but good early sign from that, okay. And we'll continue to watch that.
Okay.
So some good panfish and pike in this season, the summer survey season. Like you said, pretty good aquatic, good year for aquatic plants to grow. Good oxygen level throughout the lakes. You know, I'd just say generally, you know, good fish populations here. And fishing really is affected by a lot of things, and part of that is the number of perch you might be seeing out there, or forage for the bigger fish that you're trying to catch. And as you'd expect there, we're starting to study perch a little bit more than we have in the past. And what we did from our early netting, we actually have a little bit of perch netting or sampling in this area. We saw Gull Lake is kind of average to pretty good numbers of perch, and in Pelican Lake we saw probably lower numbers of perch than you might expect, and wouldn't you know it, the walleye fishing reports have been pretty good in Pelican and have been a little more spotty in Gull. So
okay.
You know, that's one of those things that those patterns that you start to see. So
what does the fisheries office do now from this point through the winter before until next season?
Yeah, if the fall is a fun time of year as the spring is, and we enjoy the changes of seasons because the work changes, we're jumping into fall walleye fingerling harvest now, and the water temperatures are starting to drop into the mid to low 60s, and that's where you have water temperatures that'll hold enough oxygen that the fish can be transported, kind of congregated and transported in fish hauling tanks and have good survival that way. And by the fall, you know, you've had that growth season for fingerlings to hopefully reach 5-6 inches. In our natural rearing ponds, the system we use in Minnesota where we grow fingerlings in natural ponds and then get them to lakes where management plans call for fingerling stocking. So it's a fun time of year for the crews because we're out there driving to the ponds and seeing the fall weather changing, and you know, some of the guys start thinking about hunting a little bit and observing the wildlife out there. Of course, sometimes we observe the wildlife too much because we just had a deer run into our truck last week.
So. Oh boy.
Now we have to deal with that.
Well, I know that fall is also the time you have your public meetings for potential regulation changes. Anything happening in your neck of the woods?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Thanks for bringing that up. We went through, you know, on your show, people are probably pretty familiar with the Quality Sunfish Initiative. There's, 200 lakes around the state that are being proposed for reduced bag limits in bluegill and some lakes for crappie. And in 2020, we were able to enact some new regulations on about 9 water bodies around here. I won't go through them unless you want, Kevin. But we are proposing one more new lake for a limit of 5 bluegill and 5 crappie.
Okay.
And that is Hubert Lake, right here in the center of Crow Wing County, Nisswa area. And, that is a lake where we've had good sunfish sizes. And people are really concerned about crappies around here, too, because they see them harvested at times and in good numbers, and we still do have, you know, nice crappies around here where you can get 12 plus inches on a reasonable basis, and they'd like to see that continue,
right?
Even though those populations do cycle a little bit more, so kind of a do no harm regulation in some of those systems with nice crappies. We're proposing that in Hubert, and on September 28th the open house meeting for comments or any kind of public comments you'd like will be held here in the Brainerd headquarters, the Brainerd DNR office, and, between 6 to 8 p.m. But really those comments can be, we can take comments, you know, at any time through an email or a phone call. So just remember, you don't have to show up at a meeting to comment. You can call that in or write it in at any time.
You know, I remember when there were some special five fish special regs on a few lakes in the Bemidji area, and that got a little pushback at first until they saw the results of what happens when you do that. This time around, a lot more lakes got into that initial batch, and I'm not hearing the pushback. I'm hearing a lot of agreement. I think most anglers around here are pretty savvy, pretty smart, and they care about the fishery. And most of them realize what this can do for, you know, your crappie and your bluegill populations.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing that up. That's true. And we're through fishing season one of the new restrictions on, you know, the 9 lakes around Brainerd. And we didn't hear a peep, to be quite honest. We didn't hear a peep of complaint about those new regs. And you reminded me too about existing panfish regs that have been around the state. And we had 4 of those water bodies in Brainerd too. So Goodrich Lake, Rogers, Gilbert Lake, and Sylvan have really nice panfish populations. People love going to those lakes. They have bag limits of 5 on them. And people have been pretty happy with the reg, and they see really nice fish coming out of there. Now, that's the other part of our meeting that we're holding on September 28th, is like to bring those lakes into conformity with all the other ones that are new now. We want to bring make sure that we have that in rule, that your possession limit coming from those lakes after successive days of fishing out there, your daily limit's going to remain at 5 on those lakes, but your possession limit can go back to the statewide limit that is 20 for bluegill and 10 for crappie on those water bodies I mentioned, Goodrich, Rogers, Silbert, Gilbert, and Sylvan. And that's that's just one of those technical changes, and maybe it doesn't affect a lot of people, but we just want to make sure that that's all kind of making sense to people and consistent, so it's not too confusing. Is that making sense,
yep,
Kevin?
Yep. So basically what you're saying is, if you're if then in a 2-week period, you could go out 4 different days, limit each of those days, fill your freezer with 20, you're good. But then you got to start consuming some of those fish before you can go out and get more.
That's right. The law was written in the past on those bag of five, that once you caught your five, that's your possession limit on those lakes, or from those lakes as well. So now it's just kind of bringing that back to conformity for the new regs that we're saying you can possess the statewide limit. And yeah, we'd like to see have your nice meal of fish and enjoy those, and then go fish again instead of stockpiling them.
So. Yep, I agree. Well, I hate to say it, but soon enough we're going to have ice over the lakes, and the ice fishing season is going to be upon us. I know up here the pressure on some real key lakes has really grown in the last several years. I'm assuming you've got the same issue down there.
Yeah, we've been able to measure that a little bit. We did some aerial flights in the winter to check, and it's like you would expect. The increase in the comfort level for people to be out in a wheelhouse, you know, starts to stack up hours pretty quick. Now, they aren't always fishing. You know, you have we've measured that a little bit as well. You know, some people just go out there and camp, and they're, you know, maybe there's a line down, but geez, yeah, they're not really even paying attention. So, it's easy to get out on the ice and comfortable in those nice wheelhouses. People even have nice portables that are, you know, better than ever. But it's always dependent on snow depth and ice conditions too. So that's really the major factor that affects fishing pressure on probably anywhere, is the ice conditions. So that's the one, you know, variable Mother Nature still controls, and people have to live by that. So,
you know, I there's a lot of people that are kind of torn, because most of us are saying, yeah, we need a lot of snow this winter to, you know, help keep some of those water levels back up. And at the same time, snow at the wrong time can really goof up your ice fishing season.
We all know that, where we've had 2, 3, 4 inches of ice by Thanksgiving, and you get that big snowstorm, and you're not back on the water until maybe January.
Yeah.
So, on those specific lakes. So, yep, that's a big one.
Are there any specific lakes that get a ton of ice fishing pressure? I mean, like up here, Red Lake and Lake of the Woods are, you know, they just eclipse everything else. What about down there?
Well, we kind of see some patterns where, you know, there's traditionally good early ice on certain water bodies, and those get hit, like Rice Reservoir. I mean, we call it Rice Lake, but it's really just the part of the Mississippi River that's backed up by the Brainerd Dam. You'd think that would be a late ice type situation, but maybe the water is kind of becomes cooled as it comes down the river, and you get good early ice there, and that's good pan fishing waters. You see a lot of pressure there early and often. You know, it's the big lakes around here get plenty of pressure like you'd expect, but it's hit or miss around the small lakes, and it can cycle with, like, crappie is a big driver, of course, for when there's a crappie bite on, then you're going to see some houses pop up.
Absolutely. That's a fact. It doesn't take long in the 21st century to find out what's going on.
Well, and you pop out there, what's going on? Sometimes someone's just having, a family reunion and they're having a barbecue, but sometimes it's that they're sitting over the crappie hole and they're biting. So,
well, Mark, is there anything else we need to talk about before we wrap it up today?
Well, I appreciate the time, as always. I would just say, you know, people, thanks for getting out and enjoying our lakes responsibly, and remembering to remember other people's points of view when you're out there on the water.
there are a lot of people using the lakes for different things. That's a fact. Yeah, I'm assuming, you know, there's going to be a lot of people out in duck boats, you know, not that far down the road, and you know, other waterfall seasons. That's all happening too. So you're right. People need to understand, you know, there's a lot of things going on out there.
Yeah, excited for fall and all the different recreation opportunities that are out there. I always struggle with whether to put my boat away, and I always think I'm going to get out there on that late, 45-degree water temperature musky outing, sometimes that doesn't happen either. But then I got to winterize the boat in December.
So. it's the thing about fall that is such a challenge is it's really one of the best times to go fishing. There's a ton of hunting seasons that happen that everybody likes to do. School's back in session if you have kids, and you know if you have kids playing sports, you know, volleyball, football. It's just not fair because fall tends to be the shortest season we have with the most stuff going on.
Absolutely, and then your ice fishing stuff isn't ready when you do get ice.
Then there's that.
Yeah.
Mark Bacigalupi is the Area Fisheries Supervisor out of the Brainerd office, talking about all things Brainerd Lakes as we wrap up summer and get into fall. And Mark, I thank you for the time today. Looking forward to talking to you down the road and see what's going on.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. Have a good one.
You've been listening to the Paul Bunyan Country Outdoors Podcast, sponsored by Visit Bemidji. You can catch the radio show Saturdays on KBUN Sports Radio 104.5 in Bemidji, B93.3 in Brainerd, and Kick FM in Alexandria. And of course, multiple times a week, we'll have great stuff for you right here on the podcast.